Good morning. My name is Leslie Keller, and I will be your conference operator for today. Participation in this conference call is strictly limited to invited participants. This call is exclusively for financial analysts and investors. If you are not an invited guest, please disconnect at this time. At this time, I would like to welcome you to the conference call on the 2022 General Economic Policy Guidelines. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a questions and answers session. If you would like to make a question during this time, please press star 8 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star 8 again. I will now introduce you to the speaker, Jaime Villarreal Camero, Chief Economist of the Ministry of Finance and Public Credit, to proceed with their remarks. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us today on the presentation of the economic package for 2022. Here with me are my colleagues from the Ministry of Finance, including Maria Carmen Bonilla from the Public Credit Unit and several other people from different teams here, the Tax Revenues Unit, the Planning Unit, and that unit to answer your questions. I want to talk to you a little bit first about how we're seeing things, the economic recovery, economic performance in 2021, and then how do we expect things to evolve for public finances the rest of the year, and then the economy and public finances for 2022. As you know very well, many things have changed since last time that we, when we presented the economic package for 2021. We are seeing now a worldwide economic recovery due to the deployment of vaccines, of course, and also the better focus of social distancing measures, which have allowed the reopening of activities earlier than we expected probably last year. If you remember last time, when we were presenting the economic package for 2021, the IMF was estimating a global growth of 5.4%, whereas now it's been updated to 6%. Now, of course, as we talked last time in July, the recovery remains determined by the evolution of the virus. And also we are seeing an uneven recovery among regions due to the unequal access to vaccines. As of August 24th, for example, the IMF was estimating that around 58% of the population of advanced economies had been completely vaccinated, whereas the share for emerging economies was 29%, and for low-income countries, it was lower than 6%. This represents a challenge for the economy, the world in general, and also represents a risk of a surge of new and more dangerous COVID variants. So it's something that must be monitored and worked in cooperation among countries to fight it. We're also seeing some transitory inflationary pressures worldwide. As we talked last time as well, it is uncertain yet how transitory they will be. But in general, they seem to be associated to mismatches in demand and supply, to increases in prices of commodities, to changes in consumption patterns, for example, from goods, services, to base effects. However, these inflationary pressures are causing some movements in some capital flows, sudden at points among economies, and are causing some central banks to implement more restrictive monetary policies in some cases. In general, however, perspective in financial markets are positive. The markets have recovered since the second half of 2020 due to the big support, of course, of fiscal measures and central bank measures, and also the improvements in economic perspectives. They have brought a higher demand for risk. There are still uncertainties for the future, how the pandemic is going to evolve and what effect it's going to have on the economy, and also now more recent and earlier than expected withdrawal of fiscal and monetary stimuli is possible. But in general, the outlook seems better for the world as a whole. What about Mexico? Our country is showing macroeconomic, financial, and social stability not seen in previous episodes, let me add, and also strengthening the public finances, which is helping to a higher than expected recovery. So what we have seen so far are four consecutive quarters of growth as of the second quarter of 2021, a recovery of 98% of the economic activity level that we were observing at the fourth quarter of 2019, a full recovery in terms of employment, all the 13 million jobs that were lost during the lockdown of April have been recovered, and another 650,000 were created as of July. Labor force participation rate has also increased significantly to close to 60% in July 2021 versus the 47% that we were seeing in April 2020. And temporary absentees have been reduced by close to 81% as of July 2021 compared to April. There are several things that help explain this, what we are seeing, and many of them are related to the policies and changes, programs implemented by the administration. So one of them was the timely implementation of a vaccination program, which has led to a wider and earlier reopening than expected. As you know, 67% of the population 18 years and older have received at least one dose of one of the vaccines that we have available of the portfolio that we have. And this has allowed the cumulative incidence of hospitalizations and diseases to decrease during this third wave that we are seeing compared to the second wave, even though the number of cases has accelerated in this third wave. So hospitalizations among the general adult population have decreased 30%. And diseases compared to the second wave have been taking 87 days of evolution of both waves, 30% decrease in hospitalizations, and 51% decrease in diseases. And for the older population, people 60 years and older, the reduction has been even higher, 50% in hospitalizations and 64% in diseases. So this is helping definitely to reopen the economy. Also, some policies implemented by the administration have helped boost domestic demand. For example, the labor reforms, the outsourcing reform, and increases the minimum wage, which accumulate about 44% in real terms between November 2018 and July 2021, have helped consumption here in Mexico. Also, the increase in protection, social protection spending has helped keep increased consumption levels. For example, in the period January to July 2021, social protection spending had increased more than 41% compared to the average for the past administration in the same period, January, July 2021. For infrastructure, also public sector physical investment grew 12% real in 2020, expected to increase another 10% this year. And also, as I'll tell you later, it will increase more next year. So this is helping investment in the country, together with the work, the collaborative work with the private sector, that has resulted already in two packages of infrastructure projects that are in implementation, worth 2.3% of GDP, and a third one, as Minister Ramírez de la O mentioned recently, is in the making. The results of this, so I was saying, is an increase in wage bill during the first 2 years and a half of this administration of more than 14% in real terms, which compares very positively with the decreases observed for the same period in the past two administrations of 1.6% in the previous one and 5.3% decrease in the wage bill in the first 2.5 years of the administration in the 2006-2012 administration. As of May 2021, we were seeing our private consumption at 97% of the pre-pandemic level and gross fixed investment at close to 96% of its pre-pandemic level. And this helps explain most of the recovery that we have seen since the second quarter of 2020, since these two components, consumption and investment, represent close to 81% of GDP. And a third element that helps explain the results are the measures that we undertook in the financial system at micro and macro levels to prevent the impacts in the real sector contaminating the financial one, and vice versa. You know them very well, the special accounting standards that were issued by the National Commission of Securities and Savings, the auctions of dollars, the use of the swap lines, etc. A fourth element was to use trade and the new USMCA to boost demand and investment. This has helped maintain foreign direct investment levels. We actually increased in terms of ranking last year in FDI to the seventh place, and several announcements have been made since the second half of 2020 that are associated to the implementation of the new USMCA. A fifth element has been the preservation of healthy public finances, which has served as a backstop for macroeconomic stability and investor confidence. This through several measures. One, the strengthening of the stable and permanent revenue sources. So, as you know, as we presented recently, in the period January-July 2021, tax revenues excluding excise tax on fuels had increased 4% in real terms compared to the previous year, and were close to 61 billion pesos above the program. We have also made significant progress in terms of spending efficiency to free up resources for productive purposes. So as of July 2021, for example, operational spending, excluding personal services, had decreased 8.1% in real terms versus the figure for 2018. Even though we had to face, CFE had to face the shortage of natural gas back in February 2021 using other more expensive inputs, even taking into account that extra cost, this operation spending had decreased. We also have a better fiscal position compared to peers. The last fiscal monitor issued by the IMF, they are estimating that between 2020 and 2026, the gross debt for Mexico is going to increase only 0.2 percentage points of GDP, whereas the figure for emerging economies is close to 9 percentage points of GDP, and for G20 emerging economies is close to 12 percentage points of GDP. So a big difference there. Also a big difference in terms of what they expect for financing costs, whereas the expectation for the same period, 2020-2026, by the IMF is that financing costs in Mexico will decrease around 0.8% of GDP. The expectation for EMEs is that it will increase 0.4% percentage points, and for G20 EMEs is that it will increase 0.3% percentage points. This fiscal responsibility that the administration has closely followed reflects in 8 consecutive affirmations of the sovereign debt this year, as you know. Last but not least, I would like to mention a final element that has helped seeing this recovery for 2021, and it's the diversification of the economy. It is a structural advantage, and we believe it will support medium-term growth. So in the second half of 2020, secondary activities were showed a better performance and boosted the rest of the economy. And this reflects also in regional differences. So back then we were seeing the recovery being led by manufacturing states such as Aguascalientes, Guanajuato, Puebla. Now, due to the more recent shortage of key inputs such as chips, et cetera, and logistic issues and the increase in shipping costs, what we have seen is that industrial activity, particularly manufacturing, has lost some momentum, but the recovery has been picked up by tertiary activities due to the increased vaccination, the reopening that it has allowed. And you also see how states that are more dependent on these activities, such as Baja California Sur and Quintana Roo, are now showing the highest increases in economic activity. So as of June 2021, what we're seeing were tertiary activities at close to 99% of their pre-pandemic levels, and secondary activities at 97%. So taking all of this together has taken us to update our macroeconomic framework for 2021. And the first one is GDP growth estimate. We are increasing it from the 5.3% that we presented back in April with the precriterios to 6.3% this time. We are using in our estimates an oil price of $60.6 per barrel, which is consistent with the average that we have observed that's associated to oil revenues, around $60 per barrel. And it's still, we have seen higher prices recently, closer to 65 these days. But we are being prudent using a conservative figure due to the uncertainties that we are still seeing in the market. We are using an oil production of 1.75 million barrels per day. We're adjusting it from the one that we presented in Precriterios, which is a responsive figure. It's consistent with the trend that we have observed during 2021. Production has increased around 0.5% every month. So that's exactly the trend that we are using for the rest of the year. Inflation, we're using for the end of the period 5.7%, in line with the central bank's last estimate for the fourth quarter of 2021. We're using an exchange rate of 20.1 pesos per dollar for average in 2021 and 20.2 at the end of the year. It considers our relative monetary policy position, better conditions for emerging markets, and the higher remittances that we have seen this year compared to the previous years. The average that we have seen up until 6th of September was 20.1 pesos per dollar, so it's a good estimate, we believe. And for the interest rate, we're using an average of 4.3% and end of period of 4.8%, which is consistent with the current rate and potential reactions to the inflation forecast. Now, that leads us to our updates for public finances in 2021. For revenues, we are estimating additional revenues compared to the program of 42.1 billion pesos and an increase of 1.7% versus 2020. Oil revenues increase even more because of the higher price. Remember, we were using $42.1 per barrel in our estimates for the economic package of 2021. So we are forecasting 139.4 billion pesos in additional oil revenues. Non-tax revenues increased by 150 billion pesos. This is due to the use of financial assets, but also due to several items that, as you know, are set to zero in the revenues law at the beginning of the year because they have a purpose, spending purpose determined by some law or some piece of regulation, and that's part of the increase. So in total, budgetary revenues are higher by 336.5 billion pesos compared to the approved figure for 2021, and they increased 4.5% in real terms versus 2020. Expenditure on the other side, programmable spending increases by 448.1 billion pesos. This is the spending that actually, well, there are several, but this is the one that particularly helps the economic recovery, represents an increase of 7.3% versus 2020. And it comes from, one, the increase in budgetary revenues that I already mentioned, also a decrease in non-programmable spending as a whole of 8.7 billion pesos. This is in net terms. There are increases in non-earmarked transfers for the states of 26.1 billion pesos, but then financing costs are expected to go down and also debit from previous fiscal years. So in net terms, we have that reduction of 8.7 billion pesos. And together with an additional fiscal stimulus to the one that we're foreseeing in the economic package for this year of 102.9 billion pesos, gives us this increase of 448 that I was telling you. For deficit and debt, we're expecting a primary balance of minus 0.4% of GDP, a public deficit of 3.2% of GDP, explained by that was this additional stimulus that I was telling you about, which is in line with the strategy set in 2020 about balancing out health, social, economic, and fiscal goals. We're also seeing a PSBR, public sector borrowing requirements, of 4.2% of GDP. As we mentioned in July when we presented the second quarter report, the higher than expected inflation and the use of public funds and trusts reflect in this higher estimate for the GDP. Finally, a historical balance of the PSBR of 51% of GDP, which is lower in 1.4 percentage points than the one observed in 2020, and also lower in 2.7 percentage points than the one that we expected we were going to end up having this year. It is the result of, actually, this 51% was consistent, was the figure we expected to see in 2030 last year with the path that we presented in the economic package. It is the result of all this fiscal responsibility that I was mentioning, cautious management of public resources and public debt that have resulted in this macroeconomic stability and a faster than anticipated recovery. So we're done now with 2021. Let me move on to what we are expecting to see in 2022. The economic package for 2022, as Minister Ramirez de la O mentioned yesterday when he presented the package to the Congress, is based on three pillars. One, social investment to promote human capital to strengthen the domestic market and to close inequality gaps. Number two, stable and solid public finances, improvements in tax compliance and efficiency, and a sustainable debt trajectory. And finally, a support to regional projects to boost infrastructure, employment, and long-term growth, particularly in those regions that have the most to catch up with the rest of the country. What are we seeing? What is the macroeconomic framework that we are using for our estimates, public finance estimates for 2022? First, we're using a GDP growth of 4.1%, which is supported by many elements. One, the culmination of the vaccination program, the one that was presented in December last year. It's going to help a wider reopening, particularly that in contact-intensive sectors. Second, the continuation and employment recovery, particularly with the school reopening, which is going to help women who have stayed out of the labor force to come back to the market in the following months. Number three, improvement in income and consumption because of the policies, the labor policies that I was telling you about, minimum wage, better labor conditions that are related to the reforms. Number four, higher private and public investment. Public investment for next year is growing close to 18% in real terms compared to this year. And there's this new package of infrastructure projects with the private sector that I was telling you about. Five, the acceleration of investment in some dynamic sectors that we're already seeing, such as electronics, vehicle parts, computer equipment, machinery, related to the USMCA, the certainty for trade, for investment that it provides, but also to nearshoring strategies and to e-commerce. Today, as you know very well, Mexico and the U.S. are resuming the high-level economic dialogue to discuss some economic and trade priorities to foster growth and competitiveness for both countries, for the region as a whole, North America, and increase its competitiveness in the world. And we think that's going to bring very positive results in the next years. Number six, the sound position of private and development banks. Delinquency rates for private banks, for example, stand at 2.37%, very low, and the capitalization index is well above international standards at 18.25%. So that is an opportunity to provide more credit in the next years and help growth. Number seven, the macroeconomic and public finance strength versus our peer economies. And finally, a further support that the U.S. New fiscal stimuli will provide to exports, to remittances, and into tourism. So that's what's behind the 4.1% of GDP growth. We think it's a realistic figure in line with our estimates for this year as well. For the oil price, we're using $55.1 per barrel, which is what using the methodology established in Article 31 of the Responsibility Law. Oil production, we are using $1.83 million per day, which is this comes from using a trend that is actually lower than the one that we are seeing so far in 2021. We are using a growth, monthly growth of 0.2% for next year, when what we are seeing this year, as I was telling you earlier, was a growth of monthly growth of 0.5%. So we believe it's a prudent estimate. It's in line with the emphasis on efficiency rather than volume from Pemex, and also the emphasis in replenishing reserves for the next generations. It is also in line with the increases in investment in exploration and production made by Pemex over the last years. They have increased on average each year between 2019 and 2021, 15%, and it's expected to further increase in 2022, 21%. And this compares very positively with the reductions, the average reduction of close to 9% in real terms that was observed between 2013 and 2018. We are also using an inflation at the end of next year of 3.4%. This is in line with Banco de Mexico's estimate for the fourth quarter of 2022. An interest rate of 5% on average and 5.3% at the end of the period. Finally, we're using an exchange rate of 20.3 pesos per dollar on average and 20.4 pesos per dollar at the end of the period. With all this, what are we estimating for public finances for 2020? In terms of fiscal responsibility, the objective is to secure the sustainability of public finances. So we are implementing two measures. First, we are setting a deficit level that keeps the debt stable at 51% of GDP that is expected by the end of this year, and sets it on a sustainable path. So we have a primary balance of minus 0.3% of GDP, a public deficit of 3.1% of GDP, and public sector borrowing requirements of 3.5% of GDP. We're also presenting a proposal to reduce the profit-sharing duty, the DUC, that Pemex pays to the federal government to 40%, down from the 54% current and from the 65% that we had at the beginning of the administration. This pursues multiple objectives. One is to strengthen Pemex's financial position and free up resources for more investment in exploration and production, which results in more revenues in the future for Pemex and also for federal government and for the programs and the projects that they fund. Number two is to reduce government's dependence on oil revenues. The share will go down from the 14%, the share for the federal government will go down from the 14% observed in 2018 to 8.1% in 2022. And finally, as in the previous years in 2019, 2020, and this year, the measure is undertaken at the same time that tax revenues are enhanced and at the same time that efficiencies in spending are made and efficiencies in the management of our assets and our debt to safeguard the financial position of the public sector as a whole. For revenues, the objective is to maximize the current tax framework to avoid negative impacts on the recovery. So what we're doing is we're not increasing taxes, we're not creating new taxes, but we are implementing several improvements, several enhancements to the framework to increase formalization and increase also tax collation. So one important one is the simplification measures to increase compliance and enrollment, the régimen de confianza. Let me mention two important features. One is that individuals with income of up to 3.5 million pesos per year will be able to pay fixed quotas depending on their gross income, and the information will be preloaded by the SAT, which eliminates a lot of red tape. It's going to be just like as we, I imagine several of you do the same every year, individuals, when we present our fiscal or tax statements, the information is already uploaded in SAT system. It's going to be the same for them. So that's going to facilitate a lot payment of taxes and enrollment in the formality. We are estimating a total potential beneficiaries, counting both the ones that are already paying taxes and the ones that are in the formal economy, of 21 million. The second important feature is that some firms with up to 35 million pesos in revenues per year will be able to pay taxes based on cash flow and also to depreciate investments with discount rates that are higher than those of the general regime, so as to encourage investment, creation, employment, et cetera. At the same time, we're going to continue the different measures that we already started since 2019, the implementation of the BEPS measures, the anti-abuse clause, adjustments to effectively tax economic activities that benefit from digitalization, and also some adjustments related to international agreements, as you know very well, such as the minimum global tax for multinational corporations. Taking all this together, we're expecting tax revenues in 2022 to reach a maximum figure on record of 3.94 trillion pesos, which will mean an increase of 7.7% in real terms versus the figure approved for 2021, and of 4.7% versus year end, excluding fuels. So pretty in line with the growth in the economic activity of 4.1%. This will mean that tax revenues will represent next year 64% of total revenues for the federal government versus the 60% that were observed at the beginning of the administration. Non-tax revenues are expected to increase 13.4% in real terms versus the approved figure for 2021. The revenues from CFE, IMSS, ISSSTE are estimated to be practically the same in real terms with respect to the end of year end. Oil revenues are expected to increase close to 12% in real terms versus the figure approved for this year because of the increasing price, 55.1 compared to the 42.1 that we used for this year. However, they are expected to be 2.6% lower with respect to year end because the price that we're using is lower than the $60.6 per barrel that we're expecting for this year. All in total, revenues will reach 6.2 trillion pesos and are higher in 7.5 real terms versus the approved figure for 2021. Finally, for expenditure, the figure, the objectives are several. Continue fighting the COVID pandemic, boost the recovery, and also lay the foundations of long-term development and growth. So I want to mention just only some key features that are related to these objectives. One is the increase in health spending, total health spending, the one undertaken by the Ministry of Health, but also by the IMSS, ISSSTE, PEMEX, et cetera, the whole public sector, is increasing 15.2% in real terms versus the approved figure for 2021. And this is to continue facing the COVID pandemic, so I'm saying, and also to overcome this historical deficit in infrastructure, in equipment, in human resources, in medicines, and better address the necessities of people in general, and also in particular the ones that have no access to the formal system. Spending on social protection also to continue helping the recovery and increase social safety nets is growing close to 13% in real terms versus the growth figure for 2021. Spending for economic development is increasing 11.4% in real terms to provide support for the economic recovery. Physical investment is increasing, as I was mentioning earlier, close to 18% in real terms, and we expect it to reach 3.1% of GDP, which is the highest figure since 2016. We expect it to have a multiplier effect in employment and the economy. We are investing more, in particular, in logistics, in road infrastructure, close to 88% in railroads, and also in hydraulic works. Hydraulic works are increasing 121% to ensure a sufficient constant supply of water under the increasing scarcity associated to climate change. So this increase has multiple objectives, important ones, not only for short term for helping their economy, but also for a long-term growth development. Finally, federal spending, taking into account non-earmarked transfers, participaciones, and also aportaciones, are increasing 4.7% in real terms versus the approved figure for 2021 to strengthen the capacity of states and municipalities to put in place their own programs and projects for short-term and long-term objectives. I'm going to stop here. This is the economic package for 2022, and we'll be happy to answer your questions. Thank you very much again, and hope you're all doing well.